be right back. We're going to get this one. Golly, aren't you glad that he went after the one? Goes into the dark hills. Goes into where the adversary's at. Calls out your name in the dark. You can hear him. You can hear him coming. You don't, have you ever been to that place? You can hear him coming, but you still don't want him to find you. But he's still. Y'all better watch out. We might dig into this thing. He's coming. You know he's coming. You don't want to give up. You keep. Yeah. The enemy keeps chasing you and tearing you apart, and you're running from the enemy and God. And he's still coming. Golly. That song's good. Now, this is going to be a gritty message, guys. You got a few seconds if you want to get out. You can leave. This is going to be tough. I preached this here 2 years ago. And you said, well, how do you remember? I said, I can remember a lot of messages I preach and they add to them. But sometimes when you look at it again, there's some things in the Scripture that need to be practiced. We need to do it over and over and over, man. Somewhere in church world, we preach messages and pastors and stuff, and we think we can't go back to that same message because we've already heard it. Well, really, if you really want to know the truth, is we probably need to go over it and over and over and over until we know it. But I know how church works. If you'd done that, eventually you'd want somebody else because we already heard that message. But I want to go back and preach this because it's deeper than I've ever seen it. And I think I've gave you time. Matthew 25, verse 31. It's deeper than I've ever seen it. And not that it's different. It's just better. Amen? Have you ever read a scripture like that and it's not really different? It's just better to you? Or it means more to you at the time? All right, we're going to get in the Word. Y'all ready? Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. When the Son of Man shall come, He's coming. Amen. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. I was preaching this. I was going over this today and yesterday and the day before. He's coming. He might be coming tonight. I'm just saying. He's coming. But every time I read that, every time I went over it, and it says, He's coming in His glory. He's coming in His glory. Are we really believing that? Are we really believing that? Because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if we really believe that, and when we ask our kids and our grandkids and our cousins and our aunts and our uncles and our brothers and our sisters and the people we work with, they would say, what are you concerned? What is that Christian around you most concerned about? Is it the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it anything else? Is it anything else? Because sometimes I don't get the weight of this message. Now, I can come in here and I can be spiritual. And I can tell you, yeah, I can't wait till the day the eastern cloud splits and God shouts. But then again, I start thinking about, man, is this really reality to me? Or am I still worried about what I'm going to make next week? Or what I'm going to do, what's going on in my home? What's going on with my car? What's going on with my neighbor? What's going on in politics? What's going on what's going on in Russia? Or what's going on with this? Am I really thinking, am I really saturating people with, hey, the Lord's coming back. Are you ready to meet Him? I want you to know that everything else is important, but you know what? There's nothing more important than gaining glory, gaining your salvation, knowing that you're ready. Man, I'm telling you, this thing's weighted because guess what? This is not, if you've got a red letter Bible sitting in front of you, you're looking at this. This is not an ordinary teacher. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is talking and He's already gave a list of examples of what it looks like to be saved. He's already given a list of examples of what it looks like it's going to be in the end time when God judges people. He said, I'm coming. I'm coming. You better be ready. Just like the old hide and go seek when we were kids. Ready or not, here I come. Ready or not. We should put an emphasis. We should do better in 2018, and 2019, about putting some emphasis on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did come. He did die on a cross. He was resurrected. But He's coming back. He's come. Kids, I hope you get a great education. But I hope your education doesn't come before Jesus Christ. I hope you get a good job. I hope you can provide for your family. But I hope you know Jesus more than that. I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I love you, Aunt. I love you, Uncle. But you know what I love more than that? I love the fact that I know Jesus. You know what? We're going to come together again at Thanksgiving, and we're going to come together at Christmas, and we're going to come together at Easter, and Mother's Day, and Father's Day. And am I just going to offer some little trivial thing, or I'm going to let you know that, hey, the Lord's coming back, and is it going to be uncomfortable for me to come back here next year because I'm going to share it in such a way that your soul is important? Because, see, I've been going to family reunions for the last 15, 20 years, and guess what? Less and less people are there. They're in eternity. They're in eternity. And for somehow we just, you know, we'll be all right. God, I told you, should have got out. It'd have been better, because this ain't a message it's really not a shouter. It's really not an amen, or it's probably more of like, oh, no. That's coming, and I don't know how serious I am about it. That's coming, and I don't know where I stand with telling people all the time. Amen? 31, verse 32. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. Underline that, highlight that. All nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He's going to gather the whole world. And He's going to separate the world. Believers on one side, believer and unbelievers on the other. Amen? Tares on this side, wheat on that side. One's going to heaven, one's going to hell. Goats and sheep. Separate. Separate. And you know what I hear all the time? I've been hearing this since I've been saved. Well, I just love people. I love people. I just want to love. Hey, I know you want to love people, but sometimes you got to tell them the truth in love, because guess what? If they die lost, they would be the person who stands on the other side of eternity going, why didn't you love me enough to tell me the truth? You loved me enough not to hurt my feelings, but you didn't love me enough to tell me the truth. You, matter of fact, can I preach it the way God's given it to me? You didn't really love me. You were scared that I wouldn't like you if you told me the truth. I don't even know if I'm going to have a position here after this message. Because that's the truth. It's really sometimes we won't go that extra step, because we're afraid that somebody's not going to like us anymore. And then guess what? We can't be walking around with people not liking us and the church having a label that we just don't love people. I want you to hear the truth. You can love people in such a way that you can tell them anything. You can tell them anything. And they'll know you love them. And you're not there just to hurt them, but you're willing to tell them the truth, and you're willing for them not to like you. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. This ain't easy for me. I don't get anything out of this. I don't like that. I'm not gonna like it that some people I know that are living a sinful lifestyle are gonna be separated one day in eternity. I don't get anything out of that going, man, all right, I'm saved and you're not. I don't get anything out of that. What I get out is my heart's broken. My heart's broke. Because one day people I love and people I care about are going to be separated from me for eternity, because a lot of it comes down to the fact that maybe we were just too busy doing everything at church, doing everything in Christianity, but not the main thing. I want you to hear that. I know this is hard, but you know what? If I can't preach this on Wednesday night, I can't preach it any night here, because this is the core of our church. Amen? And if anybody's going to have a burden for lost people, if anybody's going to have a burden for where people spend eternity, it should be us. It should be us. I don't know if we're going to see it or not. There's two judgment seats in Revelations. But wouldn't it be something if God did allow it? People just stood over there, and you could see them going off into eternity. And then you could hear them. It hurt, wouldn't it? Well, it's going to happen. The Bible says it like this, and they'll be weeping, and they'll be gnashing of teeth. For the longest time when I was a young Christian, I thought, man, maybe when they start pushing each other, they're going to start biting and snapping each other. That gnashing of teeth means they will be in so much agony, they'll be so scared. They will be so scared. I don't know why God gave me this message. They'll be so scared that they'll grind their teeth to a powder. They'll be so scared. They'll be so scared. And here we are as Christians, we're afraid sometimes to tell people the truth. But one day there's going to be a fear fall upon them that they'd rather ground their teeth to powder. And I guarantee they wouldn't one of them spend eternity go, man, I wish that person that lived next to me, that worked right beside me, who was my mother, who was my father, who was my aunt, who was my uncle, who was my nephew, I wish he'd have just told me the truth, and then I'd had to deal with the truth. I'm sorry that this is so heavy. He shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Do you know that God's been preparing heaven since the foundation of the world for you? Let's get in the list. For I was hungered. I was hungered. And you gave me meat. Listen, if you're feeding people, that's a natural thing of God. When God gets into your heart and your life, guess what? You're going to look around and see people and you're going to say, you know what? Some people need to eat. It's a natural thing. I'm being honest with you. Listen, if you get a desire to feed people, feed them. Feed them. I'm serious. I'm telling you what ministry looks like. What God, this is Jesus preaching. It ain't Kevin Shelton, it's Jesus. You know what he said? He said, if you see people hungry, you feed them. Because if you'll feed them physically, you can feed them spiritually. They're starving to death spiritually. But guess what? If you put a sandwich in front of them, if you give them a hot meal, if you feed somebody, praise God, you can come in right behind that. Because if you put some food in their belly, you can say, hey, you need something in your heart. And if somebody's gave them food, they'll definitely listen if they want to be fed in the heart. So if you're feeding people, keep feeding people. If you've got a burden to feed people, guess what? Let that burden grow until you're feeding people. It's important to Jesus, or he wouldn't put it in here. Oh my goodness. This is raw. It's raw and gritty. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. These aren't hard, are they? Thirsty. You see somebody thirsty, you see somebody in need, you see a situation, you say, well, somebody else will worry about it. So, no, let that eat at you until you're handing out water to people. I mean, and go, hey, are you thirsty? Do you need something to drink? Can I meet a need in your life? Because I can tell if you're thirsty for that water, there's probably a good possibility that you're thirsty for Christ. And I've got some water. If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if I got some water, if you drink of, you'll never thirst again. You say, well, that's just a small ministry. It's not that important. Let me tell you something. If you feed somebody and you give somebody something to drink, they'll tell somebody else. And guess what? They will show up again and probably bring a friend. They're feeding people and they're giving somebody something to drink. And let's go over there. And they are the kindest people I've ever met. And it's important to Jesus because he said it. So if you got something rattling around your brain, rattling around in your heart, and you think that comes from somebody or some you, and you're wanting to help somebody, that's from God. Do it. Amen? You think I'm calling you to ministry? I'm not. It's Jesus. He gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Well, we can't do that. It's just too neat. My house is too neat. My life's too neat. This is too neat for me. I don't think I can do that. Listen, mess some stuff up. They were strangers and they took them in. I'm not telling you to go get everybody. I'm telling you to go get everybody God tells you to get. Well, I don't know if we can afford it. You can't afford not to. Well, what if they come here and they make a mess? Guess what? It'd be good for a mess. No, never mind. You hear? Yeah. Wouldn't it be good when you're standing in front of Jesus and Him say, it was all right that they made a mess. They got saved. And guess what? You can't. I would have messed up heaven letting you in. Never mind. I messed up my whole heritage letting you in. You were a stranger. You can tell them too. Are you a stranger? Yes. Well, I was once a stranger to Christ. Every physical need has a spiritual need to be met. I love these. Don't let nobody off the hook. And you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. Naked. Man, we'll buy two more outfits, two more pairs of shoes, two more that we don't need, instead of looking at somebody else's need and saying, I wonder if I could give something to somebody and them wear it. Because if you clothe them on the outside, you can spiritually clothe them as well. Don't let these little nudges, these little pushes by God just pass by. I know how you do it, and I know how I do. Well, they're probably just ripping people off. Now listen, it doesn't matter if they're ripping people off. It doesn't matter if they're taking advantage. If God puts it on your heart to do it, you do it, because it took that many times for God to save you. Gets better every time. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. Sick and you visited me. It's not a chore. You don't have to. Oh, I got to do this. You know what you do? You go and you sit beside somebody and you say, I love you. And that's why I'm here. I'm here because I love you and you're sick and I want to see you and I want to tell you that I'm praying for you and I want to pray for you and I'm going to be here. I don't know if my presence will do anything, but I want you to know that I'm here because I love you. And if you're spiritually sick, I know the one that can heal both these situations. And if He don't heal your physical body, He can definitely heal your soul. Can I tell you about Jesus? Ain't this amazing how simple this is? God didn't preach stuff that was... Jesus didn't come and preach stuff that was so hard and complicated. It's very, very simple. Have you noticed He hadn't put a bunch of stuff in there that we worry about yet? It's not even in the list. I hate to tell you, but it's not even there. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Prison. Prison. They deserve it. So do you. They deserve it. So do you. They're guilty. I'm guilty. Not everybody's got to go to prison. There's a whole list. But if God tells you to go to the prison, go. But I've never broken the law. Great. They need to see a great example. I've broken a bunch of laws and I didn't get caught. Good. They need to know that they were just in a bad situation. God loved them enough to lock them up. Never. You'll get that somewhere down the road. I don't know why people go into prison. You know why they go into prison? Because they're crazy enough to break the people out. Even if they never get out physically, they get out in their mind and their heart. So if you got a burden to go, go. Amen? You say, well, how am I ever going to get an opportunity to go? If God ever gives you the burden and the desire, you will hook up and meet with the people. That's every single time. Not one time, every time. Somebody will come to this church, you'll run into somebody at Walmart, you'll bump into somebody, I do prison ministry, I do food ministry, I do clothing ministry. Next thing you know, you're going to be sitting there going, well, guess what? I've got a burden. And you know what they're going to say next? Great, you've got a burden and I need help. You mean you need somebody? That's what most of us in here praying. God, what do you want me to do? And God's like, I've got fields and fields of stuff for you to do. Don't ever think, well, I'm not qualified and I don't know. Praise God. God said, look, the field's white with harvest. If they don't want you to work here, move over a spot. Start working there. So big, you won't even have to work with nobody. You can work by yourself. Can I go back and preach something that was in there? You know, he said he separates the goat from the sheep. You know why? Sheep have real thick wool. They can stay warm by themselves. Goats, they got thin skin, thin wool. They have to huddle up. Amen? Goats need everybody. Let's all do this. Let's all go to the party. Let's all get high. Let's all go to jail. Let's all. The sheep go, nah, I can stay by myself. Never mind, I'm sorry. There's a Christian said, even though none go with me. I don't need 10 people to agree. I don't need 2 people. I need the burden of God on my heart and the ability and the willingness to go. And He'll take care of it. No. Everybody, nowadays, you can't do anything unless you get a consensus. Well, we got to vote on it, think about it, pray about it, and then come to a conclusion, and then have 4 more meetings, then have a sub-meeting and a subcommittee and a sub-subcommittee to meet with a submarine committee. Sorry, I threw one submarine too many in it. Verse 37. Listen, this is so amazing. This is what God gave me on this. I've never seen it before. Verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee? Go back up, verse 36. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Y'all ain't going to believe this. Y'all ain't going to believe what I'm telling you right now. They weren't working for their righteousness. They were working from their nature. They were working from their nature. You know what I'm saying? See, Jesus was teaching this, and He showed it. He showed it to every single person. He told them this lesson, and guess what? They were like, when did we do this? When? They weren't doing it for their righteousness. They were doing it because it was their nature. They were righteous in Christ Jesus. They were saved and born again. And all these are natural things to do when you're saved. When you're saved, you will want to feed the hungry. You will want to meet the need of the naked. You will go visit the sick. You will do all these things. You hear what I'm saying? Listen, it's a natural thing. They didn't even realize they were doing it. Sitting there going, when I read that, I was like, oh my goodness. See, you can mishandle this. I can mishandle this message if I wanted to. You better go out and do these things. That's what I could say. You better go out and do all these things. And if you're a Christian, you'll go out and do these things. I don't have to tell you that. If you're a Christian, you're going to do some of this stuff. And this is just one list. Amen? That's just one list. But I want you to know, that's in there. That's in the nature. They didn't even realize it. God, never mind. Listen, we trumpet, we sound, we run, we tell everybody, I did this and I did that and I go here and I go there and I. Guess what? They didn't even realize what they were doing. Real humble Christianity can't tell you what they do. They don't want to tell you what they do. All they want to tell you is what Christ did for them. And guess what? They really don't care where they went and how they did it and I done this and I done that. They just go like this. Look, when we stand before Jesus, we're going to be standing there going, Lord, I didn't even deserve to get in. I don't even know. I didn't do any of this stuff for you. I've done it because you let me in. Does that blow anybody else away? That they didn't even realize it? They didn't realize it? What's the next group? And the king answered, verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. I don't want to preach right there, but I do. Do you understand what this says? If you've done it unto one, you just feed that one person, you're feeding Jesus. You just clothe that one person, you're clothing Jesus. You feed that one person, you're feeding Jesus. It don't seem important, does it? To most people. Just fed my neighbor. Just gave my just took this homeless guy, went over and just gave him a bag lunch. Sat down with him, handed him a bag lunch. He's sitting there eating. You know who's eating? Jesus takes that in his account. That's me eating. That's it. That's how important that is. Jesus puts that to your account. That was me eating. Man, worst case scenario, what if they rip you off? What if they take your few dollars? What if they take your and they go and they get alcohol with it? Get drugs with it. Have you ever wasted anything God give you? I hate to tell you, I did. I wasted a bunch of it. Amen? Let's go to verse 41. Then shall he also unto them on the left hand depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Prepared for who? It wasn't made for us. It was for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did not to one of the least of these, you did not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. This second group are the ones he's talking to and the ones he's ministered to are the ones who are always arguing with Jesus about who he was. See, I don't mind a good debate. I don't mind somebody saying this about that and talking about doctrine and getting into this and that. But if it's not followed up by doing real ministry stuff, because God's in your heart and your life. If we're just going to sit in a room for hours and hours and hours and debate and roll around and talk about this and talk about that and talk about... Listen, none of this stuff in here was talk about. This stuff in here was go feed the ones that are hungry, give drink to the ones that are thirsty, clothe the ones that are naked, help the ones that are in prison, visit the ones that are sick. Why? Because that's going to lead to salvation. You know what the other stuff's going to lead to? A all-out debate, and we're going to meet tomorrow and debate and talk again. And those things are apparently not important to God as going out and meeting people where they're at. Because guess what? He is coming back. He is coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to look for the people. That's what he's looking for. He ain't coming back for these churches. And he ain't coming back for our titles. And he ain't coming by and saying, hey, what was your ministry job? He's going to say, where are the people? Where are the people at? Where are the hungry ones? See, when you go into the highways and the hedges, and you compel people to come in, the way you compel them to come in is they don't have anything. Amen? You feed them, and you feed them Jesus. You give them water, you give them something to drink, and you give them the living water. You put some clothes on them, and you tell them about righteous clothing. Amen? This ain't a hard message. It's just a message. And it's from Jesus. And it's tough on a Wednesday night to come in here. It's a work week. We're in mid-work week. Come in here and pump me up, brother. I wanted to. But what I really want you to do and what I really want for our church is for us to get ministry-minded. And what I want you to do is I want you to seek out what God is having you to do. And I don't care if it seems like a very small, small, insignificant thing in the very pit of your stomach. You think, man, nobody's doing that. Nobody wants to do that. Listen, pray about it. Follow through and say, God, let me meet somebody. And when you meet them, don't try to talk your way out of it. Just walk into it and walk into it and walk into it. Listen, how I got started in ministry, and I'm not going to tell you a big story about how Kevin done this and that. Kevin got started in ministry. It's how I got started in ministry. I walked up under a bridge looking for some homeless people. That was it. That was the whole crux of it. I went to Verizon Wireless. It was closed. I had an hour to spend, and I said, I could sit here for an hour looking at this building. And I said, but there's a bridge over here, and I know it's radical, and I know it's weird, but I'd like to go in there. Maybe if I go up under that bridge, I can talk to somebody about Jesus. And you know what? I walked up under that bridge, and I run into a place called Providence Ministries. And guess what? God said, this is a place for you. And guess what? That's why I'm standing here today. Because that little bitty nudge will change your whole life if you follow through with it. If you follow through with it. But it's just one person. It can end up being 1,000. Just a couple people eating. Yeah, guess what? What if it turns into a food kitchen? Just that one person getting something to eat. Guess what? What if that's the only meal they have for that day? How would you feel with one meal? Let's all stand as they come get a song.